B-Pod Studios.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty. Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 4:05 in the evening, Felger and Mass. We got a lot of baseball. Those are our Red Sox thoughts. Mix them together and talk to you. Keith in New Hampshire has been waiting patiently to talk Celtics since we came on the air. Keith, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
How excited do you think Brad was last night finding out Kyrie wasn't going to play or Rozier wasn't going to play? He had just the guy to play point guard, huh?
Pants off, because the offense runs through. I mean, we wanted to play with our bigs out extended. He won't admit
he won't admit
that he wants the offense to go through Gordon Hayward, because that might upset Kyrie, and we can't be doing that right now. We've got to completely subjugate ourselves to the whims of Kyrie. But Brad Stevens does want the offense going through Hayward, don't you think?
Exactly what he wanted.
Okay, so how do you account for, of all the things that improve when Kyrie's not there, Gordon Hayward's probably number one on the list. How do you feel about that?
He's got the ball in his hands. I mean, to me, that's number one on the list. He's got the ball in his hands. So all of a sudden now, you know, you can get him out in the middle of the floor, let him survey it, let him make decisions, let him go to the basket if he wants to. To me, that was the part that we saw last night that we didn't see the night before, going to the hoop. Like, and initiating contact and finishing at the rim. Like,
he went to the line 8 times.
Yeah, he didn't. And to me, that was the big change last night. And not only that, he didn't shy from the contact. Like, and even on the defensive end, I don't know if you remember early in the game, someone went in and he contested the shot and really got up with the guy. Like, he used the word confident 2 nights ago.
Decisive.
Yeah, same type of thing. And on both ends of the floor. He, you know, mentally, he's looked different the last couple of nights.
Pete in Delaware, your thoughts?
Hey, guys. Hey, as far as Anthony Davis was, it wasn't just the Celtics. The Pelicans put out a hit job on Rich Paul this morning, too, saying that if negotiations were quieter, things may have been different. And one of the parts they point out is Rich Paul. And it was almost the exact same time they both came out. And it doesn't serve the Celtics, like you guys said, well, because and by the way, who's Kyrie going to be with this weekend? It's going to be with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. You think they're going to be saying anything positive about Danny Ainge and the Boston Celtics?
You've got to kiss Rich Paul's ass just like you're kissing Kyrie's ass. It's the same deal. You need them both, or they're not going to come here. And everything that you're doing to try and convince Kyrie and make it right for Kyrie, you've got to make right for Anthony Davis. So you can't be leaking out in the media that you found Rich Paul to be cheap and underhanded. That's not going to work for you. You have to make nice with him and make a deal with him and get him to convince Anthony Davis to stay here. So you got to kiss all. You're not just kissing one tookus.
Boy, LeBron's got the whole league kissing his feet, doesn't he? It's unbelievable.
And by the way, I don't blame LeBron one single bit.
No, but my point is they're all terrified. They're all terrified. The Pelicans are terrified because LeBron.
The Pelicans aren't terrified. They don't need Rich Paul anymore, so they'll rip him. They don't care. You know, they don't need Rich Paul anymore.
Yeah, but the point is that Rich Paul works for LeBron. Right? Like, to me, whatever Rich Paul is saying and doing out there that's irritating people is at the behest of LeBron James. It's all about LeBron. It's 100% about LeBron. The league can't control LeBron. They can't control him, and they are terrified of it.
Okay. I think it's dangerous. The Red Sox take that I've been working on is the – I just think it's dangerous what they've done with their roster to win a championship in spite of the holes last year and then just come back and say, well, we won the championship last year because we had these holes, so we're going to bring the same holes back. And actually make them worse. The bullpen on paper has actually gotten worse.
It's not dangerous.
Second
What's
base,
wrong with
it's
you?
Cavalier. Second base is still, it's the same. The team's still excellent, but they have the same problems they did last year, and they've done nothing to address them. And I think that their rationale is, well, we didn't have a second baseman last year and we won. We didn't have a bullpen last year and we won. And so we'll just bring it back. And in some cases, make it worse. Frank in the car, your thoughts?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because don't these guys learn from recent history? I mean, 2013, they win the thing, and then 2014, they bring the whole team back, and of course, nothing goes right, and they finish in last place. So, you know, I just think that pitching is very iffy. You don't get the same from year to year. I really think that they got to learn from their mistakes, and they don't have the secret sauce that gets them through.
So, on principle, you're right. 2013 was a That was a fluke.
Yeah, no, that team overachieved.
Okay,
that,
so this team's much, much better, but the principle of it?
No, the principle is that they acted the same way. In 2013, they acted like they had all the answers, and they said, okay, we're going to go with the same formula. We're not going to change a thing. We're going to bide our time, and it blew up in their face, and it blew up badly. So now this team is better than that team. They're not going to finish last. They're way too good to finish last. It's just not going to happen. But would it totally shock you if they went, I don't know, 92-70 and missed didn't win the division?
No, the Yankees clipping them wouldn't surprise me. 92? That would surprise me.
Oh, wouldn't surprise me.
A little low.
Wouldn't surprise me. Again, see, people are getting the whole 108 win thing is totally corrupted people's, you know, what's the right word? A scale on what is a good season. 108 is not human. It's not realistic. 98 would have been a great year. Okay, it would have been a great year. So if they slip to 92, 93, that's not horrible, but it's going to feel that way.
Jeff in Plymouth on the Celts. Hi.
Hey, you know, I love, like, the conspiracy theory, but like the next guy, but I got to be honest with you. When you listen to Danny and the confidence and what he's been able to do, when he talks about Kyrie and Kyrie talks about July 1st, I get the sense at this point that they've talked and they've said, look, we can't do anything to July 4th. Hey, Kyrie, say whatever you want. We'll just, you know, reconvene July 1st and figure it out.
Jeff,
I think they have a good enough relationship.
Jeff, there's no question Ainge is confident. There's no they're confident about everything. Celtics fans and the whole Celtics experience is a very confident experience. There's no doubt about that. How come Kyrie doesn't echo it? How come Kyrie says, ask me July 1? I mean, what's the benefit to anyone for him saying that?
But you don't think that Danny's delivered? I mean, you have to deliver, and if you deliver, then at that point, you're confident.
Jeff, he's won a bunch of trades. He's absolutely pantsed GMs across the league, no question about it.
But I also think the part that you're failing to realize a little bit is that he's got good relationships with the players, and they like him and they trust him.
Okay, but that's not why they would stay or come here. That's not enough to get someone to stay or come here. Because they like the GM?
Garnett, you're wrong. Garnett stayed here because...
Because he liked Ainge? That's why you think he came? Because he liked Danny? Are you freaking nuts? He came here because there was a chance to win a championship, which he didn't have. And I'm not telling you he disliked Danny, but that... You go because of a chance to win, make money, and grow your brand. That's what that league is, and I probably got the order in reverse. It's your brand, your money, and then a championship. But whatever order you want, that's why you go someplace. Whether you like the GM or not, good Lord.
Isaiah Thomas hates the GM.
Well, I was just going to say that to him. Glad you brought him up. But the other thing is that the Garnett thing in a lot of ways was different because Garnett hadn't won.
Did you say Isaiah Thomas hates the GM?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but didn't he lobby this last offseason to come back here?
Yeah, they sort of kissed and made up. But there was a period of time there where it didn't, you know, it wasn't good. So, but remember, too, Garnett hadn't won. Garnett was an older guy.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's not because he liked Danny.
No. It's about the winning.
Yes.
With Kyrie, that's gone. They don't even have that.
I'm just telling you, whether he likes Danny or not is irrelevant. He's got other priorities, and maybe those line up with yours, but it's not because he's got a good rapport with Danny, which he very well might. I'm not telling you he doesn't.
Yeah, I'd be worried if I'm the Celtics.
Danny hasn't delivered that thing yet. He delivered it with Garnett. He delivered Garnett and that threesome. He delivered that team. Now, they should have won more if you want to really get into it. He only won one. That team should have won a couple, and he blew it on Perkins. But he hasn't delivered this thing yet. He's drafted well and emasculated a couple of GMs across the league. But he hasn't even made the finals yet again, never mind won one. So what has he delivered? Let's wait to see that. And by the way, I'm okay if he doesn't deliver Kyrie and Anthony Davis the more I, you know, follow this thing. It's like, God, yeah, subjugate everything you believe in just to kiss the ass of a couple ball players.
Yep.
Who don't want to be here.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Doing it. Yep.
Want to win a title, right?
I'm kissing away.
And if Garnett really liked Danny so much, why is he telling Anthony Davis to go to the Lakers?
He also did that too. That's right. But fine, they might like him. He might have a good rapport with them. It's really, I wish it were that simple.
Celtics need any help, let me know. I'll come over there and kiss Kyrie's ass.
Continue with your thoughts after this.
Yes.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry, I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We need Kyrie to be the best version of ourselves. We all need to consistently play better as a group. But we've done that at times, and we've rode Kyrie in a lot of cases, and he's carried us in a lot of games, and we need everybody at their fullest, and there's no question about it. He's going to be a guy that is going to make a ton of plays for us moving forward. We just need to get healthy.
Brad Stevens answering the question last night, are the Celtics better without Kyrie Irving? I think he believes what he's saying. I think he also likes it when the ball goes through Gordon Hayward.
For sure.
I think he also likes that, too.
Because he can control it better.
It's just his system. That's his system that he's running. And his guy running it. So I think he likes that, too. Continue with your thoughts on this and the Red Sox, which we open with today, and we will circle back to David Price speaking to the media. We've got Derek in Foxborough. Hi, Derek.
What's up, guys? Maz, you kind of touched on what I was going to say. You know, somebody has to stand up to LeBron and his agent who are trying to take over the league and really sabotage Kyrie Irving because they're still mad. He didn't want to play with LeBron in Cleveland. So I think that's why they leaked it out.
Is LeBron trying to sabotage the league? Derek, I mean, that sounds like Celtic sour grapes to me. Because if LeBron or another superstar came here and started recruiting other players, you would be all for it. All for it.
Well, no, I don't think so, but maybe.
Oh, stop. Of course you would. Of course you would. You would be all for it. If you got a superstar and he was trying to bring someone else to play with him, you would be all for it, man.
Yeah, but you don't have to sabotage a guy just because he didn't want to play with LeBron. You know, Kyrie shouldn't have to, you know, come out your light in sand every week that he's going to re-sign with the Celtics.
No, how about just once? How about just once, Derek? I mean, I love this. You know, LeBron's ruining the league. Stop it. If you had LeBron or a player like that, you'd want him to do anything he could by any means necessary to help build the team around him. You would want him to do that.
I mean, so I don't know. What I don't understand is the word sabotage. What's he doing? LeBron's trying to do what's best for him.
And how's he? What, does he have mind control over Kyrie Irving? All Kyrie Irving had to do 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago in New York, is say nothing's changed. I'm a Celtic. All he had to do, and he wouldn't do it. He did just the opposite. He swore at you. He said, I don't owe anyone crap.
See, what LeBron has done here now to me, like, you know.
And it's, by the way, Kyrie's the one that called LeBron. I'm sorry, Braun. Kyrie's the one that called LeBron, not the other way around, when Kyrie wouldn't get the, you know, he didn't get the last shot. He's the one that went crying to daddy, not the other way around.
I mean, this gets into a different discussion. But, like, the whole LeBron thing, LeBron is the first player, really, in the history of the league who fully understood the magnitude of his power and his talent. And you know what he does? He uses it. Now, look, I don't like it either because I think it's reached a point where guys like Durant and, you know, jumping from city to city, like, it's a little crazy.
And people are too quick to be upset about this because it's not working so far in L.A. As of right now, they're not even going to make the playoffs. So he's trying. I can understand how that frustrates you, but, you know, good on him. You would want him to do it if he was here, like you said. But it ain't working thus far.
Jerry on Cape Cod on collusion in baseball. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, you know, first of all, your point about Chris Sale, his comments are self-serving because he's just wanting the money to come flooding in when he's ready. But collusion is such an easy way to explain away what's going on. I think Maz said earlier, or somebody did, that it's the market. You know, the market changes. It has its rises and its falls. And the talent out there is what dictates the level of what's available, what people are going to spend.
It's not just that, Jerry. It's not just that. I mean, it's gone far and beyond that. There's so many good players still available. It's the second straight year that it's happened. This year's gotten worse than that one. I said earlier, it may not be provable collusion. There's no paper trail like there was in 86 or whatever year that was. I don't think that we're looking at that. But I think there's a groupthink going on, if that's a way to put it.
Absolutely. Look, and some of it might just be the fact that they've all smartened up a little bit, and they say, well, you know what? If we go out and we sign a star player, we're an 84-win team. We're better off being a 68-win team and getting a high pick.
Okay, there's that. And then I think there's also this. All these teams are run by nerds now. And the nerds run the analytics. And they say, that kind of contract at that age is not feasible. You know, and they, so they all, they've all the smart, all the nerds have come to the same conclusion. I mean, there is a ton of groupthink in baseball. Look at the way the game's played. It's all this fracata Colton Brewer and his spin rate and the launch angle and the shifting. It's all, they're all doing the same things on the field. They're all doing the same things on the field. And now I think they're doing the same things off the field. So is that collusion or is it the nerds have a consensus? That's what I think is going on.
Sure. Yeah, no, there's a lot of that. I mean, again, they look at it and they say Bryce Harper's WAR is 5.2 for $30 million a year. We can sign a guy as
exactly
3.4 for $6 million a year. Let's do that.
You know, and again, I don't have a problem with it because players were overpaid. Roger in Westerly on Anthony Davis. Hi, Roger.
Good afternoon, Mike. Mike, you and I are both convinced that Anthony Davis has made it very clear that he doesn't want to come to Boston.
That's right. I agree.
Mike, then why am I worried? Why are you or I worried about what Rich Paul is? Why are we walking on eggshells around what?
Oh, I'm not. But Danny thinks he's getting it. Danny wants him. Danny thinks he's getting him. And if Danny wants him and thinks he's getting him, he better not dump on his agent that he just hired. That's all I'm saying. It's not a smart play for the Celtics.
I understand that, but the topic of the last couple of days have been if the Celtics are a better team with or without Kyrie Irving. And, boy, I think the boys have made it pretty clear about how they play without Kyrie.
Okay, so let me just hit on that for a second. Because I know you
can't believe it, as many people take the cheese on this as they do.
Mass, I agree. It's nonsense to say that they can't be as, you know, their ceiling's higher with Kyrie. Okay? Like if you don't acknowledge that, then I can't help you. Okay, so, and I acknowledge that. They can't find it. They can't find that ceiling. It's not translating.
I get that. But I can't believe that people look at it and say they're better without him.
Well, but they have been.
I know. In the regular season and in certain circumstances. Again, when you go up against championship caliber competition, and in that league, that's a select few. And you say, well, what about the Golden State game? I don't care about how Golden State plays them during the regular season. I'm talking about in a playoff series, what do you think you're going to get? And not even that. Even in a playoff series and the games that matter, at the moments that matter, what do you think you're going to get?
Okay, so, and I hear you. What's your analysis on the way they've looked the last couple nights without Kyrie?
They've played better without him.
And what's your analysis of that? Like, what's your, like...
I think that the problem is Kyrie's personality. I don't think it's got anything to do with Kyrie on the floor. I think that they just don't like the guy. I think they don't respond to him. I think they think he's different, he's weird, and that he doesn't connect with them, and they think this guy's a pain in the ass. And they're not convinced he's going to stay here either, and there's a lot of elements, but I think the big thing is he acts like a leader, and he's not, and it turns them off.
So you see the difference on the floor when he's there or not there.
No question.
So you get it.
And in the case of Hayward, as unburdened as he's looked the way he's played these last couple of games, I feel like, you know, maybe consciously or subconsciously, when Kyrie's there, he's like, oh, I got to get it up to him. I can't take this shot. He's going to be pissed off. Locker room's going to be a problem afterwards if I take this final shot. Like, I think it's that. I don't think it's so much because it's just better team basketball without Kyrie because the ball sticks with him too much. No, I think it's a personality conflict with a lot of these players.
I mean, okay, I think there's a lot of that.
How's that going to change? Because Kyrie, as far as I could tell, is Kyrie Irving.
Some of that's on those guys, too. Realize you're the second fiddle to this guy.
And some of it's on the coach. Don't put Hayward out there with Kyrie. Unless you have to in the final 5 minutes of a game and need him to spot up.
Wait, so now Hayward's going to play 10 minutes?
No. Hayward's going to play second unit minutes.
No, but you're saying don't put him on four at the same time. Really big games, Kyrie's going to play 38, 39, 40 minutes.
Okay, so you're right. So you're going to have to find another way to use Hayward when Kyrie's on the floor versus off the floor. Like, look, I'm not telling you it's easy, but Hayward's going to have to learn how to be a spot-up shooter or something. Or Kyrie's going to have to learn how to play off the ball a little bit more. And instead of running it through Marcus Smart, they run it through Hayward. You follow me? In other words, one of the ideas in putting Smart in the lineup earlier in the year was you take the ball out of Kyrie's hands and you can run him around a little bit more too. Maybe instead of doing that, they put Hayward out there. Okay. I don't have the answer okay. for you on that one.
But at least
I don't.
At least you acknowledge what it looks like.
Absolutely.
Now.
Listen, they play a better team game when Kyrie's not there. You're not going to beat championship teams playing that quote unquote team game with the talent they have unless Kyrie's on the floor.
Sean and Sutton, what do you got for Sean?
I completely agree with you, Maz. We need Kyrie Irving. When we have him, we're a much more successful team, and that's why I think it's not a big deal if he plays in the All-Star game. I mean, it's not like it's tonight. We have a few days until that. They go half speed anyways. It's not a big deal. Also, Tatum is a big part of our future success. Forget about Anthony Davis.
Hey, Sean.
We can win right now.
Okay, so the big deal thing. You know how I feel about the big deal thing. That's a different question than is it the right or the wrong thing? Is it the right or the wrong thing for Kyrie Irving to play in the All-Star game?
I don't think it's necessarily the right thing. I just don't think it's the end of the world if he does.
Okay, well, now we're talking about degrees of how we handle it, but that's not addressing the core issue. Is it right or is it wrong? And something tells me you don't like, you know, negative things about the Celtics being made a big deal of.
It's wrong.
Is it right or is it wrong?
It's wrong.
And then this is Sports Talk Radio. It's Felger and Maz. We make a big deal of everything. That's why we're so powerful, because everything, we invest and care about everything. So everything's a big deal to us, and if it's not a big deal to us, we don't talk about it. So it's a big deal to us. But and whether it's to you or not, I can't help you. Is it right or is it wrong?
It's wrong.
It's wrong. It's wrong. And Danny knows it.
But I'd let him get away with it.
Right? Danny knows it. Stevens knows it. Anyone who follows this kind of stuff knows it. It's wrong. It's a bad look. It's a bad optic. And it's a bad actual deal.
See, now, if it's Rajon Rondo not getting on a plane for a birthday party, I'm pissed because he ain't good enough. But if it's Kyrie, I let him get away with it.
It's the same principle, right? It's the same principle. And on this one, the Celtics are just flushing their principles down the toilet.
No question. Yep. They are. Yep, I'm in. Sell, sell, sell. I'll be a complete prostitute.
All right, we'll reset some of the Red Sox stuff from today. And David Price, he holds the trump card now. I don't know if you knew that or not. What does that sound like when someone holds a trump card? You'll hear it right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dave, when you made the reference in L.A. to holding the Trump card, how does that
plus feel? Jokers.
So what's that?
Plus the Jokers.
Who are the Jokers?
There's 52 cards in a deck of cards and two Jokers in that deck. Never mind. I hope some people will get that.
How does that change things for you?
I mean, it doesn't. I'm still playing baseball. Father, husband, son, friend. Teammate, it doesn't change.
Do you feel liberated in any way by the success of the postseason?
I mean, it felt good to go out there and perform on that level. You know, I know how many doubters are out there and whatnot, and that's fine. It felt good to go out there and to be able to prove myself right. That was what it was all about.
So Dave Price back in Fort Myers today, day one. What's it sound like when you own the trump card? That's it. That's it. And day one, anyway. He's always good copy. He's always good, meaning it's an old newspaper expression. He's always good fodder. He's always worth talking about.
Absolutely, he is. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's gotten more so. Like, the story's gotten more interesting now because he's won.
It has, definitely.
Right?
I agree.
It would have been the same old thing all over again. And, like, here we go. They got to get rid of this guy. Now there's, like, a whole different dimension to it. It's great.
Right. I agree with that. And so he was back today, and that was his, you know, and that was Shaughnessy saying, who are the Jokers? And Price didn't want to go there.
Felger, Maz, Murray with his stupid impersonation. I got the whole deck here. You want to play 52 pickup? Pick him up, Shank.
All right, David. Cards all over the place.
He's feeling it now, isn't he?
He had some interesting comments. Some that, you know, there were a few pants-off moments there for Red Sox fans. The one about winning multiple championships. Jimmy, he's here. He's only here because he wants to win again. This is why he returned to Boston.
I mean, I want to win again. You know, I've said it many times. I didn't come here to win one World Series. I came here to win multiple World Series. And we won one last year, and I've got you know, 4 more years under contract here, and, you know, we want to do it again.
So he's here to win one more. Is that so? On one hand, that's great. Yeah, he's here to win one more. He likes it here enough to stay and to win one more, and he wants to win one more. That's why he's here. Is that why he's here? Or did he opt out because the market sucks? Because there was another portion of this press conference where he's asked that. He had the chance, again, if just to refresh your memory, he had a chance to opt out of the final 4 years of his contract after last season. And he didn't. He opted right back in. Roop. And I think he only had like 2 days to do it. The deadline was quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was 3 days.
Okay, and so he did. You know, within that 3 days, boom, he's back. Why did he come back, David?
When you were kind of talking about your decision to opt in, was there ever a point in time where that was kind of a difficult thing in your mind, where you were weighing the options?
No. You've seen this free agent market? That wasn't very hard. You know that.
Okay, so did he come back here because he wants to win again and he likes it here, or did he know and he realized and made a smart business decision that there's no money out there? And it's really the second thing, and I don't begrudge him that. I think that's a great answer. It's an honest, real, practical answer.
And anyone that thinks that, like, you know, it's revisionist history, because we had a caller earlier say, well, you know, you look back on it now. The market was every bit as bad last year. And remember what it was for him going into the season last year. He was coming off an elbow injury. He had pitched in relief in the playoffs. Like, there were questions about what he would even get on the market if he hit the market.
Well, but it's just sort of clear in the last couple of years, the owners are shutting the players out.
Yes, and his people, his, you know, agents and whoever else, had prepared him for the reality that, David, the market's going to suck. You're in Boston. Get that reality now. And I think it's part of the reason why he was able to win. Like, I think that him understanding that this is it, I'm not getting out of it. You know, he had to accept the reality. But, you know, the money was a part of it. If they had told him he could have, at the beginning of the year, they had told him he could go back out of the market and make more money and pitch for a different team, he'd have had a better year.
It's a big part of it. It's the part of it.
Going back to Shawshank.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. And, you know, even if he did like it here, and I don't think he does, and if he wanted to be here, I don't really think that he does. Even if he wanted to, and the market was strong, he should have opted out and then re-sign if that was in the cards, like Sabathia did that 1 year. And there was a run, I think, I mentioned this earlier, like there was a run of 8 straight guys that opted out because the market was such that the players were going to make more when they opted out. So they all opted out. Sabathia did it most notably. Didn't, maybe Kershaw did it once or twice. Well, you know, there was a whole string of guys that opted out and made more money. Greinke was another one I was thinking of. There's a bunch of guys that opted out and made more money.
Sure.
So if that's what the market was, he would have opted out.
I mean, I would say that up until the last couple of years, it was standard procedure.
Right.
A-Rod did it in 07.
Exactly. So I don't begrudge him this one single bit. Smart. And I'm glad that he's just sort of honest and upfront about it. You see the market? Hell no, I'm not opting out. Good, no problem. Just don't give me this. I'm here to win another one, and I'm here. And like, and if you believe that, then I just, you know, I would disabuse yourself of that notion, because he still doesn't love you. He's doesn't love us. He hates the media and doesn't feel great about the fans. And you know it, because there was another lukewarm response when Shaughnessy asked him about it. Have you come to peace with the fans? And because, you know, how many times has Dan asked David Price and given him the chance?
Oh my gosh, it's got to be 4 or 5 at least.
To praise the fans in Boston. And you tell him he's never done it, and I don't think he did it today.
How do you feel about your relationship with the Red Sox fans?
Good. I have no problems. You guys can drive that narrative if you want, but I'm ready to rock, ready to play. I have no problems.
Feeling the love of the parade?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good. No problems. You guys can feel as much as you want, but it's good.
Good.
I'm ready to play.
That's your wife's. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. It's fine.
Good.
Yeah, things good.
He does. If he had his choice, he'd be somewhere else.
Good.
He has never said, in my mind, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, can you cue up the Chris Sale cut, Jimmy, about when Chris Sale says he wants to be here? Listen how Chris Sale describes the city, the fans, his experience here, and you tell me if David Price has ever come anywhere near to sounding the way that Chris Sale did yesterday.
This is a special place. This is a special group of people, a very special city, and an unbelievable fan base.
Special city, unbelievable fan base.
I mean, what a line. That whole thing again, like special city, just play it.
This is a special place. This is a special group of people, a very special city, and an unbelievable fan base.
I mean, he's gushing.
And what does David Price say?
Good.
Yeah, it's good.
It goes fine.
It's good.
No, I have no problems.
No problems.
He doesn't like it here. He's never liked it.
You guys can drive that narrative if you want, but I'm ready to rock, ready to play. I have no problems.
And again, by the way, he likes the team. He likes his he likes his teammates. He should like the organization.
Good.
Well, and I think one of the big changes in the last year is he likes his manager.
Okay, so that. But I mean,
oh, big time. Yeah.
So he likes playing for the Red Sox. It's just if it were the Albuquerque Red Sox, I think he'd be happier.
Good.
That's all.
Sure. Or Tampa or St. Louis.
The Topeka Red Sox. Yeah, I don't think he loves us. Fans and media probably dislikes us more than you, but you're on the list. He doesn't love you.
Oh, no, no. He thinks we have like a warped value system and a distorted view of reality, and he's right.
And then finally, the question that has gripped Boston, and thankfully we did not allow this too much because if we wanted to, it would have taken over for 4 hours. David Price is going from number 24 to number 10. Why, David?
Why the number 10?
I'm going to let you guys figure it out. I don't. It's not that tough. If you know me at all, I feel like you can get it. Somebody will get it, and everybody's going to be like, oh, okay, wow. That makes sense.
The Red Sox have won 9 World Series. And
that is not it. Not it.
That's a good guess.
Are they retiring? Dwight Evans never?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, I do think he will be a Hall of Famer, so I do think it will be up there at some point.
Okay, so the follow-up was about, is it they're going to retire Dewey's number and 24 is coming off, so you have to pick a different number? Nope.
Nope, that's not it, Johnny. Don't care about retired numbers. Nope, you're wrong, McAdam. I just like brain teasers. Just having a little fun. If you know me, you'll get it.
So if you were listening earlier in the program, my apologies, but we've had, 14,000 frakakta cockamamie sort of ideas.
I've got 5 minutes of sound edited down for the final word.
You will hear Boston's conspiracy theories.
Perfect.
David Price's number change, because it was as stupid as you think it might be. But it was actually confirmed
entertaining
by Peter Abraham today. What is it?
Yeah, so it's what I said earlier, that David Price's son, his name is Xavier, X, the Roman numeral, is 10. He brought him out a couple of times during the postseason, during the postgame press conferences. You know how lights out he was in the postseason. So maybe he looks at him as a good luck charm. So someone,
he just likes the kid.
Well, either
it's
way,
his son.
Someone took this theory or came up with the same theory and tweeted to Pete Abraham about it, and he has since said, yep, I confirm that this person has cracked the code. Hey, cracked the code. Well done. You are right. So according to Pete Abraham, that's what it is.
He's 10. Yeah, I think he's lying, Felga. I think that Mookie
Mookie
Betts don't likes to
again.
Bowl,
don't
and there are 10
again.
Bowling pins.
Okay, so there are your David Price Red Sox thoughts mixed in with our Celtics conversation, your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
When you were kind of talking about your decision to opt in, was there ever a point in time where that was kind of a difficult thing in your mind, where you were weighing the options?
No. You've seen this free agent market? That wasn't very hard. You know that.
Smart job. Smart decision by David Price. With the collusion, or whatever you want to call it, going on in baseball right now. Mike in New Hampshire on that topic. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, yeah, guys. This collusion, I'm going along with it. How much have the nerds led into the front office where they're making decisions for the rank and file free agents saying, you know what, we don't need to pay these guys? The question comes along with those guys, and I'm not saying that affects Machado or Bryce Harper, but where are these guys stopping the line saying, you know, these other guys are fine for $3, $4 million. Why are we going to pay these other guys?
So, Mike, I'll just stop you there. I think it's the nerds. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think the players have been overpaid. And there's been so many bad contracts for these kind of players in free agency that finally the nerds have put all the data in front of the owners and the owners are listening. It used to be a time where, you know, maybe a GM would advise against it, or it would seem to be against someone's better sense, but there would be an owner there who just couldn't help himself. Steinbrenner, obviously most notably, but any number of guys who would have to have a player, and the owner would just do it. Now, all these teams are run by the analytics guys, and the analytics clearly, which you could just eyeball and say that these big price free agents don't work.
Yeah, and that they're overrated. Superstar players are overrated.
They're not worth the money.
No, that's right. I mean, and dare I say that on, like, in some way, it's almost like the Bill Belichick approach, at least to most positions.
It's just rare that everyone is following suit.
Oh, my gosh, it's ridiculous.
That there's not those handful of teams that, come hell or high water, we're getting that player. I mean, that's the way it's always been.
See, but this is why I think, like, baseball needs a floor. Baseball needs a floor. Otherwise, you're going to get teams that say, well, why do I get to pay that guy $30 million when I can get 80% of the production for $10 million? I'll pay the $10 million guy. End of story. And so, well, which is great, you know, except that overall, that, you know, the union doesn't want that. And look, I don't need to give you the whole business lesson on it. But it's a problem now. You've got good players out of work and teams saying, that's okay, we're going to suck anyway, so what's the big deal? Because the TV money is so great and the revenue sharing is so great, it doesn't matter if they sell the tickets.
But the deal is that these guys have been offered good contracts. Not great ones, but good ones.
Correct.
So maybe get on that. It's time to take what's out there.
Yeah. So that, again, to me, this is the union's part of the problem here. The union needs to agree to a floor and stop trying to just accommodate the superstars and actually accommodate the guys who are on the field.
Or quit holding out for 10 years, $300 million. It's not there. So how about 1 year? $25 million, one year, $30 million, and do it again next year when things, you know, when things start settling out. I mean, that's another thing to do. I mean, JD Martinez did it for all intents and purposes.
Sure,
he signed a 2 year deal, so why not start doing that? I'm not blaming the owners for this, but I do think it's going on. I do think it's happening. Derek in the car, how do you feel about the Celtics without Kyrie Irving?
Honestly, I think that they could make it without him. I'm not saying that his skill level isn't high enough to put them over that hump, but they have so much skill on the team that I really think that they can make it. And I think the biggest problem is the team chemistry, which we've all been talking about. But the problem is that Kyrie has put himself on this pedestal of, you know, I'm just as good as LeBron James, and I'm going to give LeBron a call and say, how can I kind of ring in all these other guys? If I was on that team, I'd kick him in that bum knee and say, get back down on our level and let's play as a team.
Okay, so that's like part of the issue. Kyrie's put himself on a different level than his teammates. And what's gross, it's gross, is how the Celtics are just letting him do it.
Yeah, you know go ahead.
Well, the most latest example is sort of pathetic.
Well, yeah, because you know who doesn't agree with that caller? The president of basketball ops, Danny Ainge. In the last 20 minutes, Danny Ainge, a lot of time in his hands, but with the All-Star break here, on Twitter, and retweeted Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics, NBC Sports Boston, who tweeted a little while ago, yes, Celtics 10-2 without Kyrie. No, they're absolutely not better without him, and he had all these stats. Well, Danny Ainge, again, president of basketball ops for the Boston Celtics, Trader Danny, if you will, took to Twitter to retweet Forsberg and just wrote, duh, with a little shamrock.
Aye.
See, Kyrie, see, holding up the phone, Kyrie. As he's getting on the plane going to Charlotte. We know he didn't play in the last couple of games. See? See what I tweeted? Lover? Don't forget about the wedding on July 1st.
It's a good move.
I agree, Maz.
It's a good move.
Oh, it's unseemly. It's pathetic.
Who cares?
Gotta
kiss
that,
his ass.
Keep that fiance happy.
Kiss.
Pathetic. It's pathetic. It's pathetic what one player, who they've been better without, and but I'm not telling you that they are or will be, but to this point, you can't deny it. How the Celtics, that once proud organization, has lowered itself to chase one player who they haven't even been better when he's been on the floor with. It's sad what's happened to that team.
It's the way the league is now, man. I don't like it either, but you got to do business as business is being done.
If he plays in the All-Star game, are we sure he's playing against the Bucks that Thursday night?
No, that would be even... So, I mean, look, whether it's a big deal or not, for him to miss two regular season games and then go play the All-Star game in the same stretch of time is
horrible. Look,
that is brutal.
He better play against the Bucks.
Of course he better play against the Bucks.
Horrible.
Are we sure that he will be?
It's bad enough that he missed the Sixers. It's bad enough that he missed the Sixers and Detroit, you know, but if he didn't want to play back-to-backs, I could sort of
He didn't even travel with the team to Philadelphia.
They didn't even go to Philly.
You hearing something, Jimmy?
No, I'm asking a question.
He just wasn't there.
No, he has to play. It would be almost 2 weeks since he tweaked his knee if he doesn't play Thursday.
No, but apparently the Celts don't care. Hey, look, he's got to get his run in. Like, this is sad. The guffawing, the genuflecting. I don't know how many different adverbs or adjectives I can come up to.
Prostrating.
The prostration and the genuflecting this team has done to say, no, it's okay. You know, he's got to get his run in anyway. He's got to get a workout in anyway. So, like, Lord knows we can't possibly give him the kind of strenuous workout he's going to get in Charlotte, jacking around with his buddies in Charlotte.
Business.
Oh, my God.
And he's coaching the rookie game.
Oh, that's right. He also has business engagements down there, too. So we got to let him go do that. That is embarrassing, man, how they have lowered themselves.
Can you imagine what a jackwagon coach this guy is? We'll find out.
I give him whatever he wants.
Danny in Lexington. Go ahead, Danny.
Guys, why don't they try and run the ball through Gordon Hayward even when Kyrie's back? I mean, I think Kyrie's a little bit of a diva, so that you would never be fine with that. But
yeah, how did that work in Orlando? How did that work in Orlando? I'll tell you how it worked. Tatum missed from the baseline, and then Kyrie Irving pitched a fit on the floor, screaming at his teammates on the floor. Then he walked off the floor and called Bron. So that's what happens when the offense goes through Gordon Hayward. Something tells me that wouldn't work with Kyrie. In fact, I know it wouldn't, because do you have the Stevens cut from yesterday, Jimmy? After the game in Philadelphia, when they ran the offense through Hayward, he was coming off all these pick and rolls, and he hit 6 3-pointers and was a big part of that win. Brad Stevens wants to say that we ran the offense, or tried to run the offense through and then he stopped himself because he knows the last time the offense really ran through Gordon, Kyrie called daddy and narked on all the little kids.
Did they win that game in Orlando?
No.
Hmm.
Did they win that one in Philly?
What happened the next game when they needed a shot at the end? Who took it?
Did they win in Philly?
No, I'm talking about the plays at the end of the game.
I'm talking about the game 3 nights ago.
Yeah, they won the game in Philly.
Yeah.
The game in Orlando, when they didn't give him the ball at the end of the game, did they win it?
No.
Okay. Then the next game in Toronto, he took the ball, meaning he being Kyrie, and did they win the game at the end?
Oh, my God. The Celtics are so afraid of this guy.
Give the star player the best ball,
They're
Brad.
So afraid of him.
Give the best player the ball, Brad.
This is Brad Stevens discussing how he wanted to run the offense in Philadelphia the other night.
Well, not only scoring it, he was playing. We played with him in the pick and roll, a ton tonight, and we wanted to try to play, with our bigs out.
Can't bring himself to say we wanted to play through him. He was talking about Gordon Hayward there, because if you do that, that means you're not playing through Kyrie, and then someone gets upset. So this is what the Celtics have been reduced to.
At the end of the game, give the ball to Kyrie.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.